All right, I need a volunteer Bible reader this morning. Ron, thank you. I just always appreciate how you volunteer so quickly.
We all got the Apple Revised Vision.
We don't care. Go to Job 13, chapter 13, hold verse 1 till we get around to it sometime this morning. Okay, our lesson this morning is on, of course, we're doing the book of Job. We're going to do a little reviewing on Job in a minute, but is on hope. What does hope mean to you? What does the word mean? Give me some things in life that you've hoped for. What do you hope for? Hope. Hope for a home in heaven. Well, that's something good to hope for. What other things have you hoped for in your life?
Hope for my children and their well-being and development.
That's when did you start that hoping?
The day they were born.
That's right. Well, I think all of us as parents, grandparents, you hope that your kids. What other things you hope for? Who said that? Hope for healing, okay. What other things? When you're a teenager, what do you hope for?
To be 16.
To be 16? Absolutely. That's the highlight of your day, of your life. What other things you hope for?
World peace.
Hope for world peace. Certainly nothing wrong with that. Y'all saw a hand. Yes?
Chicago Cubs
to
win World Series.
Yeah, that's big hope. That looked like that was a hopeless hope, you see. We all hope for all kinds of things. I know nobody in here plays the lottery because that's a sin, you understand. Come in, sir. Let's give him a hand. Of the three Doss brothers, he's the smartest. Yep. I didn't say he's the most humblest either, but he's. Why do you think, Mel, that he's the smartest of the three?
I have no idea. He never worked for you.
He never worked for me. That's right. That's how brilliant he is. Roger worked for me. Roger went to school. He got Mel to come and work for me. Mel's job ended abruptly. But he was smart enough and never came to work. So that's the IQ test.
I was going to say, you didn't keep the business long enough.
Minor detail.
Yeah, minor detail. I tried to explain that to the bank, IRS, and everybody else. I didn't know that you're supposed to be a great salesperson and make profit. I got the sales part of it. I missed out on the profit. Now, I owned a business when I was 25, and somebody else owned it at 31. And it wasn't me. I hope. You hope. Now, is hope a good thing?
Yes.
You sure? Yes. Why is it good? Pardon?
It says so in the Bible.
Okay. We're going to look at that. Why is hope a good thing? Pardon?
Keep you going.
Okay. Yeah. Did your kids do everything you ever told them to do? No. Did you lose hope?
At times.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. See? But you keep hoping. Is hope a good thing?
It's better than hopeless.
Better than hopeless. That's right. Okay. Is hope faith? Is hope reality? Which would you rather have, faith or hope? Now don't just jump at that. Which would you rather have, faith or hope?
Faith.
Faith?
If I have faith, I think I have hope.
Okay. What's the difference? Or is there a difference? The lesson says we should have hope. Now, let me ask a question before I say anything. Is the lesson author in this room? Good. Because one time I taught the lesson and the lesson author was in the room. Remember, that was Angel Rodriguez. Luckily enough, I recognized that. See? So, hope. Is a difference between hope and a difference between faith? Is it the same? And if there's a difference, which one is the best?
Well, hope is thinking of what you want to happen for your children, for your parents, for yourself. It's your dream.
Okay.
Faith is that it'll happen.
Okay.
It will come true.
Okay.
Things will be good.
All right. And what's the difference?
There's a difference.
Okay.
Besides, right. To know.
Okay.
From faith, you know. Hope, you're hoping for.
Okay. All right. Who else? The lesson says we're to have hope. Hope for what? Everything works out right? Everything goes good? Hope you have enough money for retirement. I watched a program the other night on the man who killed Osama bin Laden. And it was very, very interesting. The man said that when the SEALs 6 team found out their assignment was to go kill Osama bin Laden, that they did not think that they were going to come back alive. And this man that fired the 3 shots into Osama, he sat down and wrote letters to his sons, his mother and father, and explained to each one of them in his own way why he was going on a mission that he felt, as he said in the letter, if you're reading this, the mission, I didn't make it back. Now, did he hope that everything would go out, go good? Does anybody think that he didn't hope that it wouldn't go good? Did he have the faith that it would go good? No. You see, you can hope for anything that you want to in the world. And there's nothing wrong with hope. It is better than hopeless. It is a dream. There's nothing wrong with it. You can hope all you want to. But that is not faith. What would have been faith for this Navy SEAL 6 guy? What would have been faith?
Not have to write the letters.
Not have to write them. Do you see the difference? Certainly he hoped he would return. He called the day that they were being deployed, he called every family member. He called his dad last. He couldn't obviously tell him that he was going on any mission, let alone tell him what the mission was. But the dad said, I saw something wrong in the conversation. He said, I sat in the car, he's at Walmart when he took the call. And he said, I went in and I happened to run into a relative. And the relative said to me, what in the world's wrong with you? You're white as a ghost. See, he picked up that something was wrong. You can hope all you want to. But unless you have faith, hope is not an answer. So let's look at Job. Did Job have hope or faith that he would survive what he was going through? So, pardon? Had both. He had both. He certainly hoped. But that wasn't the question. The question as the universe watched what was going on was not if Job had hope. It was, what is Job going to do with this circumstance? So let's do some reviewing. I don't know who was here the last time I talked. Don't know what I said the last time that I talked. I hope it's the same. That's what you always hope for. Who wrote the book of Job?
We don't know.
Yeah, we do know. It's Moses. Most theologians think so. Ellen White says it is Moses. What was Moses' condition when he wrote the book of Job? Pardon?
He was an exile.
That's important to understand. He's writing Job's experience while Moses is experiencing the same thing. He was in the palace. He was in the top echelon. He was designated to be a ruler. But he decided he was going to help God out. And remember, that's a sentence that we get in trouble when we say we're going to help God out by rescuing the children of Israel by killing one Egyptian at a time. And so we find Moses out in the wilderness tending little dumb sheep, lost everything, and here he's writing a story of a man named Job who lost everything but his life, and what was the other thing he did not lose? His wife. Very interesting. And as Jim pointed out 2 weeks ago, we do not know her name. The name, as you know, our ministry is on the names of God. The name of God used 31 times out of the 48 times in the Bible is El Shaddai. Whenever you see Lord God Almighty, God Almighty, or Almighty, that's El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the many-breasted one. Says, I have one more feeding station than there are in people in the world. I have room and nourishment for everyone. Nobody left out. So Job has three friends that comes to see him. And don't misunderstand anything. These were three great friends. Now, Jack, you've made pastoral visits, haven't you? You visited friends out not being their pastor, but being a good friend, right? Have you ever gone into somebody's that's had problems and sat there for 7 days and never said a word? No.
That would be impossible.
Yeah, that's why I picked you. I see, never pick somebody at random, but no, it'd be impossible. That's what Job's friends did. So these were friends. Misguided, but nevertheless, these were friends. This was the three elders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, there to visit their good friend Job. Sir, you have had problems. People have come to visit you, right? Did he sit there for 7 days and never say a word? No. And after 7 days, here's the comforting words they had for good old Job. Job, paraphrasing, do you believe in El Shaddai? The Almighty One that says, I have everything that you'll ever need to take care of you? Yes. Well, He's not doing it. Look at you. El Shaddai's not doing it. So the only logical conclusion, Job, is, what sin have you committed? Have you ever used that technique in pastoring visitation? Of course not. Family would throw you out. Or the patient would get up and throw you out if he could.
You get thrown out in enough places without that.
You see? They were trying to help Job. Job, El Shaddai says he's going to take care of everything. Look at you. You've lost everything. Man, what sin have you committed? And the next one, he was a little kinder. He said, you know, Job, probably maybe not your big sin, but what in the world have your children done? The sin so bad that this is happening to you. And the third one said, chapter 12, Job, spread your diseased hands out and pray to God Almighty to forgive your grievous sin and prepare yourself to die, and there you'll find relief. And then his wife comes in with the cheerful words. What'd she say? Curse God and die. No wonder the devil left her. And so we have Job. Lost everything. His friends saying, just commit. Figure out that sin. Figure out what your kids have done. Prepare yourself for death. That's the answer. And finally we get to Job 13. Remember, we're talking about hope versus faith. Hope says, man, I hope I get out of this mess. Faith says something else. So now finally in chapter 13, Job speaks to his three good head elder and the other two elders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Nice and loud.
This is in the Good News Bible. Everything you say, I've heard before.
All right. We're going to go through this kind of slow. What's Job saying there?
He's heard it all.
Pardon?
He's heard it all.
You ain't telling me anything new. You see, what do you think was going through Job's mind? He was trying to figure out the same thing they were trying to figure out. He had no great insight. He's sitting there going through the logics. Why is this? I trust God. I've prayed to God. I've done the right things. And here God allows this to happen. He's going through these same thoughts. The biggest concept that we used to have 20 years ago, I think it was 20 years ago, bumper sticker says, if God says it, that's it, I believe it, or something like that. That is baloney. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said what? Any way I can get out of this, paraphrasing, I'm a great paraphraser. Any way I can get out of this, get me out of this. Except what did he say?
Thy will
be done. You see, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, making the decision for the universe, says if there's any way. God has never asked us to sit here and take it. He says, share your thoughts with me. It's ironic. Why would he say that? He knows them anyway. It's us that needs to share them. Why? I don't understand this. Well, just have faith. It'll be okay, just have faith. Baloney. Job says, hey, I've heard all of this. Don't you think I've thought of it?
Understand it all. I know as much as you do.
All right, he said, hey, I've gone through the same theological courses. I understand El Shaddai. I understand. I've been through it all too.
I'm not your inferior, but my dispute is with God, not you.
Okay. Boy, there's some gold in that statement. There is some gold in that statement. Who is Job saying the battle is with? God. Do you realize that in our meaning well, how many times we make other people of other churches inferior to us? Job wants to get that statement pretty good. I know you're the head elder and the two elders, but I'm not inferior to you. My argument isn't with you. My concern is with God. How many times have we come along and made other people inferior? Well, we have the truth. We know what's going to happen in the end. Job says, I'm not inferior. Are you think I'm interested in discussing the theological aspects if Friday, Saturday, or Sunday is the Sabbath? Man, I'm wrestling with God. And we need to understand that in our witnessing. People are wrestling with God. That's who we should lead them to. So he says, my dispute's not with you. I'm wrestling with God.
I want to argue my case with Him.
Wow. Well, did I just get through telling you? God wants you to talk to Him, to present your case. Why me? Why me, God? I know your promises. But this isn't working out. I want to know. And so we find Job arguing with the right person, God.
You cover up your ignorance with lies. You're like doctors who can't heal anyone. Say nothing and someone may think you're wise.
Okay, now, let me tell you, I've been a preacher. I've been where you make canva, and sometimes the best thing in the world is to tell people, I don't know. Who am I? As semi-brilliant as I am, but humble, think that I have all the answers to anybody's problems. But you know, if we're not careful, we feel like that we've got to have the answers. And so what do we come up with? Nice little phrases. We just have faith. I just trust God. Pray a little harder. Nothing wrong with those, but those are not the answers. Nothing wrong with saying, don't have a clue. But I can point you to someone who does have the clue.
Verse 6. Listen while I state my case. Why are you lying? Do you think your lies will benefit God? Are you trying to defend Him? Are you going to argue His case in court? If God looks at you closely, will He find anything good?
Okay, now, these are pretty strong words of somebody who just came and sat for 7 days. Why are you lying? Man, nobody likes to be called a liar. You see, get this picture. Job was sitting there with nothing but boils and a wife telling him to curse God and die. And yet it was important for Job to defend the character of God. And he said to his good friends, well-meaning good friends, your picture of God is wrong.
we should make ourselves happy on Sabbath, no matter what it takes and who it affects. We want them to be happy also. So, and my wish is that I will be able to take anybody that I come in contact with, I'll show them the way to happiness.
That's very good, Jim. Appreciate it. That's an excellent thought. So Job is sitting there, removed from everything in the world except Boils and his wife, defending the character of God. "You have lied about my God," he says. How can a man say that in that condition? How can he say that in that condition? What you're saying about God isn't true. Is that hope? No, that's not hope. If your religion is built on hope, you're in trouble. You know, I got relatives who will remain unnamed, because Sue will beat me over the head when I get home, so they'll be not named, that are hoping to get out of their financial situation. And they hope. But what do they not do? Work. You get the picture? Well, we hope. Now, I don't believe salvation by works, but we got to do something more than hope. This man, he's not hoping. He knows God. And that's one of the essential points of this book. He knows God.
So do you think you can fool God as you fool others? Even though your prejudice is hidden, He will reprimand you, and His power will fill you with terror. Your proverbs are as useless as ashes.
Yeah, now, remember those trite little sayings I say that we use? Oh, just pray about it. It's going to be okay. God understands. God's involved. Blah, blah, blah. What did he say those proverbs were?
Useless like ashes.
That's right. We're not helping a human being. Sometimes maybe it would be good if we sit and shut up and listen to what the person's saying and look for an insight. Roger, you're a good counselor. I sent my granddaughter to Roger for counseling, and he gave the best advice in the universe, but it was to Sue. The way life is. He was great. Changed Sue. Didn't do anything for her granddaughter because he said she was hopeless till she was 40. She's only 31. So far, you're correct. But I won't mention any names. When people come to you for counseling, I've never had figured out why an hour is 50 minutes, but let's get past that. That's okay. If a guy can get away with that, that's good. That's good. How much of the time is he talking versus you talking?
How much time they talk versus me? Probably about 75% of the time.
Yeah. They talk.
Yeah, they talk 75%.
Yeah. That's the way it ought to be in the visiting business. But we feel like we have to give them answers. Yeah, you know, I was in the hospital for 14 days. I had some well-meaning people come and visit me. But everyone, most everyone had a relative that was worse than I was, that survived. And all I wanted to say after 14 days in the hospital was, "Do you think I care?" I mean, I'm being practical. And then everyone had a remedy. do this. Now, I'm paying whatever I was paying for professional doctors who didn't know what was wrong with me. I went in for a gallbladder. I ended up with a heart stent. My kidneys about kicked out on me. I was 24 hours away from dialysis, and they still, after 5 years, haven't done a thing to my gallbladder. So the hospital will only see me when I'm dead or Sue drags me, you see. And I said, and I don't know whether to use this or not, but you know, I apologize, but it, to me it's big. I sat there after a while, and I went through the process of why am I here? God? I came in here with a gallbladder attack, laying in the middle of the floor with great pain, and now I got all these problems. Why? Then I got thinking. At this time, we were kind of in the height of our ministry. We'd just been on 3ABN TV. We had been to a lot of places. And I sat there and I wrestled. And I finally came to this conclusion. And this is the part that I feel, you know, not comfortable, but I just got to tell you my testimony. I came to this point. I said, God, you miraculously have brought Rob and I to a place in our ministry that we never thought we would be. I know you're not through with me. I know you have places in the ministry. I'm fine. And that was a conclusion I come to. I thought, why would God open up the doors for 3ABN TV, do all of that for the ministry, and then my life be cut short? You see, there was no hope. I mean, I hoped all day long. Every day, I hope this is the day they get me out of it, see? Hope's not the word we're looking for. Because you can hope all day long. You can hope your kids do good. I can hope that, Roger, my granddaughter beats the 40. And I do hope. I can hope if I'm a Navy SEAL guy, I come back. But you see, it's your faith. Job had all the hope in the world, but he had that faith. That faith. I know God. And I don't understand this. And we're going to see his conclusion in just a second. What verse are we on?
We're down to verse, the last half of verse 12 says, okay. Your arguments crumble like clay. 13, be quiet and give me a chance to speak, and let the results be what they will. I'm ready to risk my life. I've lost all hope. So what if God kills me? I'm going to state my case to Him. It may even be that my boldness will save me, since no wicked person would dare to face God.
Okay, what verse are you on?
Down to 17.
Okay, let's stop there. The good news is a paraphrase. So the good news misses 15, chapter verse 15. The Hebrew says, though God takes my life, slays me, I will now, the King James says hope, but the Hebrew says trust. I will trust Him. See, he had hope, but hope didn't get him through. Hope will not get us through when everything is down at the bottom. Faith will get us through. Now, how do you get faith? What is faith? What is the common definition? Who said definition? Thank you. I love when people help me with the English language. It's a good thing I don't make my living by talking. What is the normal definition that we have of faith? Pardon?
Evidence.
Nah, I don't even think that. What's the normal one we have?
Is the substance of things hoped for.
It's going to happen. Okay. If God wants it.
Yes?
Is the substance of things hoped for.
That's exactly right. You see, that's our definition normally of faith. Is faith is something of the things that we hope for. That is baloney. Somebody have their hand up?
He had a comment. It's a good comment.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word.
Yes, absolutely. I've just met you last year and this year, correct? I don't know you. Now you come from, you come from a good lady. Can't say anything about them brothers. But I know Roger. And I definitely know Mill. I'm going to use Mill. If I gave, what's your first name again?
Lauren.
Lauren, $100. And ask him to bring it back to me next time he visits Arlington. And I give Mill $100. And I say, Mill, bring it back to me a year from this date. Which one would you, if you were a betting person, bet that would bring me the $100? Mill. Why? I know him. I've done business with him. We've had some good times together. We've been bad through some bad times together. We've been through a lot of things together. I know him. I know he'll bring me my $100. I hope that he does. And I believe he might. And I think the odds are pretty good. But I cannot have the faith in him that I have in him. Why? Because I know him inside out. It's what you have to do with God. You got to know him in order to say, if he takes my life, I will trust him. No matter what happens, I trust him. No matter what the answer is, I trust him. And I tell you, that's hard. You've got to know him. You can hope all you want. You've got to know him. 2 weeks ago, a man sat right in this class, right where Lauren's sitting, and said, why are the children over in Syria getting bombed and killed? Do you think for 1 second in Aleppo that I have the answer to that question? I know theologically. I can answer certainly theologically. I certainly know who's in control, God. I know all those answers. But do I think that in 3 minutes I can answer that soul-searching question? The answer has to come from within. He has to find his relationship with God and answer his own question. All I can do is point him to the source of the answer, which is God. God forbid that I think I have the wisdom to explain why little babies die in a bombing in Aleppo. Oh, I know, just part of the world we live in. These are what sin does. This is what happens when the world is... What did Job say to his friends? Shut up. You're better off just being silent. I shared a couple of weeks ago, so those that heard it, pardon me. But there's a quotation I come across a long time ago. I work with it. I think I understand it. I think I've come to an answer. But it still is amazing. When we get to heaven and we see the end from the beginning, we would not change a thing. Wow. No, that's a nice statement. The answer is, well, we're in heaven. So the end result is that we're in heaven. How could we change anything that got us to heaven? I understand that. That's a nice theological answer. What I don't understand and that I wrestle with, but I trust God, is when loved ones die, when children die, when people you know have bad things. See, but it says I wouldn't change a thing. That's hard to understand. Says that we would not change a thing.
No, but the perspective of the discussion is that we wouldn't change what God did for us.
Well, if I think God's just an almighty person that does 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, I kind of agree with that. But I think that we have decisions that we make. Pardon me?
And you think you would prefer for certain people to be killed or lost?
No, ma'am. I was preserved to be saved. I was never...
No, I say you would prefer when you get to heaven.
I don't know. There's a whole group of people that will see where God was merciful, correct, and their next thing is let's go kill the Creator. So... Pardon? Well, I agree. But that's why that statement, and I appreciate your saying, that's why that statement I've wrestled with for years. Because there is I know a finite answer. Yes, if I'm in heaven, why would I change anything? But that doesn't take away from the emotion. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, if there's any way I can get out of this, get me out of here. So anytime I question, it's not the question, it's the answer that's the difference. See, we never teach that statement in pastoral counseling. Oh, brother, just have faith now. Doesn't work that way. Try to work in the real world. The real world has questions. We don't have all the answers. Our job, point them to God. Now, I promised you we'd get out here in 2 minutes, early. Father in heaven, so thankful for the class, so thankful for the different ideas and opinions. I feel good that we can sit and share with each other because that's the only way we learn. Help us through the week to understand you, to get to know you as your servant Job. In Jesus' name, amen.